There's a dead zone in Green Bay. Now, that may sound like the title of a Stephen King novel, but it is happening in Lake Michigan's Green Bay, a growing dead zone with so little oxygen that fish can't survive. Don Scavia joins us now. He's an aquatic ecologist with the University of Michigan, and he directs the Graham Sustainability Institute. It's very good to have you back on Stateside, Don.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, we last spoke with you in the spring about Lake Erie and its algae bloom, and we know there's a dead zone that you've been watching for a long time in Lake Erie's Central Basin. How worrisome is the dead zone that's showing up in Green Bay?
Well, it's worrisome. It's the same kinds of problems that we're worrying about in Lake Erie, and to be honest, Chesapeake Bay and the Gulf of Mexico. These are really important problems. Fisheries in all four of those areas are really important, and they're threatened.
Is it growing? Is that what's kind of triggering this new wave of concern?
I think that's the case, that, you know, as in other places, the loads of the nutrients that tend to drive these problems are increasing. We also have a new phenomenon with these intense storms that we're getting in the spring, this sort of climate-induced variability that we are not used to, driving the problems even farther.
So break it down for us. Just give us the dead zone 101, if you will. Exactly what is it and what causes it?
Sure. So as you said in the beginning, the dead zone is an area in a water body that has oxygen that has become so low that any fish that are in that area that can swim away will, and they'll leave. They'll go to other areas, and those organisms that live in the bottom will in fact die. It's caused by the decomposition of organic material, organic matter that gets down into the bottom waters, and the bacteria that decompose it use up the oxygen. Most of the organic matter that gets down to the bottom is the algae that we see at the surface, and that algae is driven by the nitrogen and the phosphorus loads that come off the land and stimulate those algae blooms.
What's happening around Green Bay, Don, as far as where's the phosphorus runoff likely coming from?
Well, the dominant source of the phosphorus in that watershed is agriculture. There's always, you know, municipal and industrial sources that are of concern, but, you know, the Clean Water Act and the point source control of those treatment plants has brought those phosphorus concentrations down, and we're pretty much left with what's coming off of the agricultural lands as the primary control mechanism that we have left.
So what could farmers do to perhaps reduce the impact and control that runoff?
Well, there's a range of practices that are primarily supported by the Farm Bill when we have one.
There's a discussion.
There's another discussion, exactly. But planting buffer strips between the farm field and the adjacent streams is one way that helps prevent erosion and the loss of phosphorus into the land, creating and protecting wetlands in those areas, controlling how much water flows off of that land through the drain tiles, the drain fields. Is another way. These are all not farming marginal lands that require more fertilizer than other places. And you know, these all cost farmers money to do that, and that's where the Farm Bill becomes so important, because that's where the incentive comes from to do the right conservation programs.
How about controlling cattle manure? What can farmers do to deal with that?
Well, you know, it used to be when you had a small farms, you took the cattle manure and you spread it on your own land and you grew corn and you fed your cows and you had a nice little cycle. Well, that doesn't happen anymore, and we have much, much larger operations. And so managing the manure, finding ways to keep it on the land, keep it into lagoons if you're using those, and not having that leach into the groundwater and into the surface drainage is really important.
Is there a sense of concern and cooperation from the agricultural community around Green Bay?
You know, I don't know the Green Bay community that well.
Okay.
But the Ohio community, where we actually have been dealing quite a bit with Lake Erie, there's been a tremendous growth in cooperation in that area. And I think it may be safe to think that, you know, Great Lakes agricultural communities have a lot in common.
Realizing there's so much at stake.
Right. What's really sort of, I think, interesting and useful in some ways in the Great Lakes region, as opposed to the Gulf of Mexico, where the nutrients in this are coming from Iowa, getting it into the Gulf. You know, these farmers fish, and so they want to protect the Great Lakes as much as the rest of us.
Don Scavia is an aquatic ecologist with the University of Michigan, and he's the director of the Graham Sustainability Institute, keeping an eye on the dead zone that's shown up in Green Bay. Don, thanks so much, as always, for talking with us.
Thank you.